Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pop Culture Ninja. I'm Nathan here with Nathan. Nathan, what's going on, man?
We're in the new year. We're in 2017. We haven't had an episode of this show since before Christmas.
Yeah.
It took a bit of a hiatus. Now we're sort of back.
Back into the routine.
So we're looking forward to the new year.
Yeah.
We got through like 40-some episodes last year. I'm hoping to do more to really kind of give the show more of its own identity. Yeah. We need guests. We need more guests.
So yeah.
Hoping to lay out a plan for that soon.
Yeah. And that's something that we didn't end up doing just because of time restraints, and you and I just got busy toward the end of the year, but we wanted to do a New Year episode, and typically in those New Year episodes, we talk about, you know, how was the year in review, and what are we looking forward to? So you're right, you know, this is a good place to just say, in this new year, we are looking forward to pulling on more guests, to networking more with other podcasts, and getting ourselves out there, because I think some of the things that we do that's different and more unique to this podcast, yes, we do many different movie reviews, but we go beyond that. We talk about genres within movies and literature, and I think those are some of our strongest podcasts. I mean, I enjoy the movie reviews that we do. I like going and seeing the previews or the pre-screenings, but to me, like, the one we did on the dystopias and the utopias.
Yeah, well, it's easier, too. You're drawing from cultural, everything's happening at the time, versus, yes. It's hard to keep up. Speaking as a film critic, it's hard to keep up with all the new releases, yes, all the time. Trying to see something, have something new. Those episodes are fun. I'd like keep doing them, but they'll probably be shorter.
Yes.
And they'll probably be more sort of like, but just sort of how we began. We would do a longer episode. But beyond that, we're kind of moving out into some other stuff too. And we still have Phantom Galaxy,
yes,
that focuses more specifically on science fiction and fantasy and stuff like that. So probably when we get to some of the more particularly, it seems like everything's genre these days. Yeah. Like, I'm looking, yes, at the list of movies. It's like, well, there's not that much that falls, right, outside of. So this week, we really want to do kind of 2017,
yeah,
looking forward to what's coming up on the horizon, particularly with movies and with video games.
Yeah.
And I'm planning a Phantom Galaxy. Rachel and I are going to do one that's going to specifically look at science fiction fantasy books for 2017.
Nice.
We put together a whole list and we'll kind of go through that in some depth. But today, we're going to do, you want to start with video games or movies?
Yeah, let's start with those video games, because there's one in particular that I'm looking forward to. You and I have talked about it, and that is Zero Dawn Horizon, or Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm sorry.
You had the right words.
It just, just the wrong order. I mean,
right. It
happens. But I'm really looking forward to this. I'm a big fan of third-person open-world games, the Batman Arkham series, the Uncharted series. A lot of that just really appeals to me in terms of that third-person action. And I'm looking forward to this futuristic world where you have machines in the form of dinosaurs roaming the planet, essentially. And
it looks amazing. Like,
yes,
visually, it looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and what really looks neat about this is there are some, it looks like, you know, in all games, if you pre-order the game, you get these different skin downloads, so you can change your character up a little bit and make it a little more unique. But this one, it actually looks like that different weapons are attached to the character, and it looks like that these different weapons will do different things to these creatures that you're trying to fight. And so that actually, it almost seems like, you know, hey, this might be something that's worth investing in to get these different weapons that I can use that might be to my advantage. But Nathan, go ahead and talk to me about your thoughts on this game, because you did just get the PS4. So I'm curious, what is drawing you to this game? Because you were actually talking to me about this game last year when you first heard about it.
Yeah. Well, to me, because not being a avid video game player, mm-hmm, and honestly, I'll be honest, even now getting into the PS4, and like I say, I've played a little bit of Uncharted 4, and just actually last night was kind of seeing like Far Cry Primal, like, mm-hmm, what that's all about. The element of the video games where there's a bit where you're sort of being directed to do things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's yes, you're playing a game, but it's a little bit different than like the Nintendo games of the past.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably ashamed to say that on the PS4, what I've used it most for is I downloaded, they were selling on the PS Store, the first six Nintendo Mega Man games.
Yes.
So I've unfortunately, this PS4, this nice powerful system I have, I've been using to play 8-bit Nintendo games on it with my son. And that's been a lot of fun because he can actually kind of get into Mega Man and play through, not a full level, but he can kind of get through there and he can get the concept of, oh, we need this weapon to fight this robot. So it's a lot of fun to do that because it's kind of like my memories growing up as a kid were playing the Nintendo, so it's fun to watch him do that. So unfortunately, that's what I've used it for. But so something like Horizon Zero Dawn, what draws me to it is not all these possibilities for gameplay, although I may get there.
Mm-hmm.
But because I haven't played that many of them, and there's that feeling of, okay, it's going to tell me to hit the X button. It's going to walk me through how interactive is this going to be. The visuals, again, this is coming from the movie guy perspective, the visuals and the concept are often what draw me into these games. And if it's got strong enough visuals, if it's got a strong enough concept, it's going to make me interested regardless of whether I actually feel like I want to play the game. It's going to make me want to play the game for reasons other than, wow, I get to use that cool weapon, or it'd be awesome to do this. Like, I don't really think that way a game. So it takes a lot for something to sort of attract my attention. Seeing the visuals in the game are what drew me to it, or even seeing this concept. And it's kind of overwhelming the way that it seems to be set up. Like, just these creatures are so massive. I mean, there's something appealing about when a game can take you and put you in a feeling of something, giving you that awe or wonder feeling, or that feeling of just being overwhelmed by something. And the games have become so immersive, playing a little bit of the Far Cry where you're on a mammoth hunt.
Right.
This game seems to be that taken to a far extreme.
Sure,
like, the guys run up and throw in the spears at the mammoths, and the mammoths are large, but I mean, then I was watching a friend of mine play Titanfall 2, and then the robots are even bigger than that. And these things are enormous. Like, these are giant, like you point out, they're made of bone and metal, but they look like dinosaurs. They're huge, and this girl is sort of traveling across this devastated country fighting these things. And so what draws me to is just the idea of being caught up in this world, like being able to explore this world. It's what I was looking forward to with a game that came out last year called No Man's Sky, which I've heard was a huge disappointment. A good friend of mine said, no, it wasn't that great, unfortunately. But that idea of being immersed in a world is what I'm looking for in a game.
Right.
And that game seems like it's going to deliver, even though it also looks like a pretty intense action game, action-adventure game. So I just want to experience it just for the visuals and the whole quality. It reminds me a little bit, and there's another game that was actually made by these creators, so I want to play it. The PS2 had a game called The Shadow of Colossus.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that. That was the only video game of that whole period of time with the PS2s and everything that I remember playing and really like enjoying it, just being into, because it had an element of a story and it had that sense of these giant massive things and you are this little hero. You know, there's another one out that just came out at the end of December called The Last Guardian, which is made by the same people, and I really want to play it. I haven't played it yet, so I might try to rent that one and give it a spin, see how it is, because I don't know about buying that one sight unseen. I'll wait for a couple reviews of Horizon Zero Dawn, but I think I'm going to pick this one up.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be the game of the year, so to speak, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I agree. This is one that I've been looking forward to. Initially, when it came out, I wasn't sure what it was going to be like, but now, after everything that I've seen about it, after some of the gameplay and the walkthroughs and some of the stuff that I've seen online, it really looks like a game that I would, like you said, pick up sight unseen without playing it, without trying it, and really, really enjoy it. And usually I have a good sense and good feel about those types of games. I'm really looking forward to that one. Another one that's coming out is Mass Effect is continuing their series. It's taking place in a different story arc.
Is this Andromeda?
This is Andromeda, yep. Did you ever play any of the Mass Effect?
I have not. I haven't played any of them. I'm familiar, but I haven't played them.
Yeah, I played the first one. Of course, BioWare, who does Mass Effect, I did play their Knights of the Old Republic video games, 1 and 2, back when those came out. I played them on the Xbox. Really loved them. Great RPG game. Third-person story mode. Of course, those were Star Wars, and it dealt with the Old Republic of Star Wars. And really just enjoyed the experience of interacting. Mass Effect, I played the first one, took you to another level in terms of the interactiveness and the gameplay that went on there. I heard 2 and 3 got even better as time went on. They just really did a good job at bringing those and amping those up with that Shepard series. And now we're dealing with Mass Effect Andromeda, which is actually supposedly taking you to a new world to colonize the entire world. So instead of being in different stages, you're actually going to be in an open world environment, similar to Horizon Zero Dawn, where you are going to be able to play and interact with those things. This is the game, by the way, that back in the fall when we did a podcast, we had mentioned that they were doing a voiceover contest. So you could online and you could do voiceover for a couple of the different characters.
So full reveal, are you going to be in it?
No, I am not.
I remember you sent a...
Yeah, I sent a recording in. I think I probably did. Looking back on it, there were two different roles you could apply for. One of them was this kind of snarky newscast guy who was doing interviews, and the other was for a mercenary. I probably should have reviewed for the mercenary or applied for the mercenary position. I felt like my looking back on it, I feel like my voice would have been gruffer and better for that one, as opposed to like that more kind of snarky, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my shtick here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We leave the snarky to the other Nathan. I am, despite the fact that they rejected me, I am completely looking forward to this game and playing this game, because they do...
It's more like they ignored you than rejected you.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm easily ignored. BioWare does do great stuff. They do... just the attention to detail in the game world. Now, that being said, in all fairness to games out there, they could totally miss the mark. This is a new thing for them, being a more open world concept. So I am interested to see how it's going to play out. And as opposed to Horizon Zero Dawn, I will check this one out before I decide to make the plunge and purchase on this one.
And let's give a couple release dates too. So Horizon Zero Dawn is next month, February 28th, at the very end there. And I think in the UK it's going to be March 1st. So basically end of February, beginning of March is when you'll be able to get your hands on that one. And then Mass Effect Andromeda is March 21st. So it's literally about a month after Horizon Zero Dawn. So it's just about enough time for the hardcore people to have played through.
Yeah.
And you're ready for a new game, and boom, there it is. Yeah. I do not have a Wii, but of course, A Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wind comes out March 3rd. So that's
another open world game, actually. Zelda's first open world game.
So that should be pretty interesting to see how that shakes out. I think when we had Bob Blandenberg back on in the summer, we kind of talked about that and what that kind of held. So Resident Evil 7 comes out. So we've got that coming out. And I'm interested in playing it, mostly because on the PS4 I've not yet played a horror game, which I'm kind of looking forward to, because I have this kind of love-hate relationship with those games. I love to do it, but there's a certain point where I'm like, I don't know that I really want to play through this entire thing because of how intense it gets.
Yes.
I'm more like I like it in little bits. I'm still playing through Alien Isolation on PS3, so I don't know how completely ready. And I did play all through the entirety of Dead Space. So the Resident Evil 7 looks pretty impressive. I mean, it looks more impressive than the movie that's coming out here.
Yes.
That's always been the case, of course. I see there's a Double Dragon 4 on PS4. Do you know anything about this?
No, I'm missing that.
I don't know. Again, it's tricky with a list. The movie list I could kind of parse through and say, oh, you know what? I'm not sure that this is coming out just yet.
Right.
But, or if it's a title that kind of got bumped back. But I'm seeing Double Dragon 4 January 29th. So
okay.
That
might be an independent game.
And it says PS4, so I'm not sure if it... Yeah, it certainly could be. See, there's a couple of weird independent games. I don't see many of them on this list, though. This list seems more like it's bigger releases because there's a couple of independent games I've been looking at that are like, hey, this could turn out to be something pretty kind of neat. And
yeah, I'm not even seeing any screenshots for Double Dragon 4.
Yeah, maybe it's not a thing. And that'll be the 30th anniversary of the original game, the first Double Dragon. That was my dad's favorite game on the old system, on the Nintendo. And so I wonder if it's going to have that, like, side-scrolling sort of feel. But it is a little disconcerting, perhaps, that we that we don't see or know anything what's happening with it at this point. So
it seems like such a milestone.
But maybe this so Red Dead Redemption towards the end of the year is going to have a sequel. Part two, that was a game I played a little bit of on PS3, and that was pretty impressive. I think that's a game that it falls into that category of the story was relatively strong there, I thought. You know, that the character and the story were as about a good a reason to play it as all the game mechanics. Did you ever play it?
Nathan? I did not. I had so many people who were trying to get me into that. The problem is, it's kind of like movies. There's just so many options for video games out there. There's just not enough time to jump into everything.
This game For Honor is still kind of on my radar. I don't know. It would just be a rent. I think Chris may have brought this one up back when he was on the podcast with Bob, where you are warriors from all different eras of time fighting. So samurais are fighting, soldiers fighting medieval knights kind of deal. And kind of curious to see how that one turns out. I don't know how much hope I have for it. But I think it definitely looks potentially interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a game that looks very bizarre. You talk about in the indie term of things called Night in the Woods. It comes out February 21st. The graphics on this thing look like they're little like cardboard cutouts that a child made of a cat running through a two-dimensional stick city. But it has a very weird, subversive sense of humor. It seems to be very odd. It looks like if you made Twin Peaks with little cutout characters. And there's something weird and kind of mesmerizing about it. So that's one of those games I'd like to check out. It's probably one of those things I'll wait until there's like a PS4 sale or something on the... But it has me intrigued because it seems so different. This is not a game I would, say, rush out and get, but take a look at it. It definitely looks... If you're someone who likes those alternate game experiences, which, again, that's kind of where I am. I just want to see what the system can do, what the storytellers can do through the game. And Night in the Woods looks kind of interesting. That's February 21st. But we've got a couple other things coming out in the year. And, of course, these lists tend to be fluid in terms of games released. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is kind of slated for this year. Dawn of War 3. They have a little, this video game that Namco's doing, Little Nightmares, which is a weird stop-motion horror-looking thingy.
Okay.
That's coming out at the end of April, like April 28th.
Nice.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that again, for the reason that it looks like it's offbeat and off the beaten path.
Yeah.
And it looks like it might be one of those things where taking a little different approach to storytelling, a little different approach to the gameplay.
Yep.
To me, that's sort of where you get me interested. I don't necessarily need to have three video games in a series of the same thing I've already played. I just want to see something new and different.
Sure.
Which makes me not their target audience when you come to creating games. But I think we have a lot of game development going on out there that someone who has that same mindset can kind of find what they're looking for. And there's a ton of games coming out this year. Half of them, I'm not even certain what they are. So it'll be interesting to see as the year goes on. And I always do like to pay attention to some of the smaller indie games. And if you have a PlayStation, going on the PlayStation Store and just look around sometimes, because you'll become aware of stuff that's under the radar. The same way I'd recommend someone who enjoys independent or offbeat movies going to Amazon sometimes and just looking at what they have in their streaming, because sometimes you'll find stuff in there that is not available in the main theaters or things like that.
Yeah.
So probably that's a good segue then, unless you have anything else, Nathan.
The only other one I was going to mention, just so I don't leave out the Xbox folks, because, let me clarify. So a lot of the games that we have mentioned up until this point, they're crossovers.
Yeah, they're multi-platform. Yeah. Almost everything that I've mentioned is, yes, it's available on PS4, but they're also available on everything else.
But Horizon Zero Dawn, I believe, is actually a PlayStation exclusive. Let me throw out here one that is an Xbox One and Windows exclusive, and that's Halo Wars 2. Halo Wars is a real-time strategy game, so you're actually building up your army of Spartans or of Covenant leaders to go out and destroy the other faction, the other team. So it's one of those overhead views, a more advanced engine of like Clash of Clans or like, you know, back in the day, I think of Dune 2000, StarCraft, you know, those type of games where you're literally building your base, you're adding to it, you're mining, developing more money so that you can build on bigger and better things and then go out and decimate the other side. And Halo Wars was really great. It was innovative, and it looks like this one is taking it up another notch. To really, you know, push the envelope with graphics. Halo, I enjoyed the Halo series and the Halo games when I was on Xbox playing it. And so, you know, this is definitely one to check out. Release date as of right now is still February 21st. So there's one for you Xbox and PC gamers.
Cool. So, yeah, a lot of stuff out there on the game front and recommendations for things you're excited for. Or if you've seen anything on some of these games, please let us know. And if anyone out there knows anything about Double Dragon 4 outside of what we've already done, it's strange to me. So the Double Dragon never went beyond Double Dragon 3.
Yeah, well, they did a Double Dragon. I think it was called Neon. It was a PlayStation. It was on PlayStation 3 that you could download. You may have been able to do it on Xbox as well, okay. But you could download it as it was. Indie games. It was a side scroller, yeah. Like indie game.
To me, that's going to be the important thing. This is going to need to be some form of a side scroller to be effective. Yes. I don't want. There's no reason for me to play a Double Dragon that isn't at least reminiscent of that style of gameplay.
Yep. Totally agree. All right. So, man, so many movies here. I mean, we actually went a bit longer than video games than I thought we would because
you had a lot to say.
Yeah,
which was fine. So we're heading in. We're at that kind of precarious point in the year. A lot of what people are paying attention to are movies that have already kind of come out at the end of the year, but are still rolling out. Those kind of big releases that are tied to the Oscars, tied to the Academy Awards coming up. So the theaters out there are still playing a lot of stuff that you can see. And there's a lot of stuff I'd recommend. Obviously, some of the big blockbuster stuff is still out there. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, Rogue One. And, you know, we didn't actually review that on the show here. I quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
I thought it was good. It had issues. It was not the greatest movie ever made. It was, however, I thought it was an effective attempt at what they're going for. See, can we tell this sort of side story? Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, it's still tied pretty explicitly to the original series.
Right.
And I think what will be interesting is when we see them try a Star Wars standalone that is truly a standalone, meaning we don't have a young Han Solo to contend with.
Right.
We don't have Death Star plans being stolen.
Right.
But we have a story that's happening in such a way that maybe we don't even need to be aware that there's an Empire, or even Jedi, for that matter. So I don't know that we'll ever get there in the Star Wars universe. But I thought Gareth Edwards did a nice job with it. I thought the acting was strong. Mm-hmm. I liked a lot of the choices they made for storytelling. So that's out there. But La La Land is out there. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend if you have the stomach for it, if you're a really serious moviegoer. And when I say stomach, this is not an exploitative film, but it's a very hard, difficult film to watch. Very challenging, but a really good movie. And I'll talk about it next week, which is Silence, mm-hmm. Martin Scorsese's film about the Jesuit missionaries during the 17th century in Japan. That is a very hard watch. But I think if you want a serious movie about faith, if you want a movie that really explores the themes of the Christian faith and are in a realistic and a real soul-searching way, Silence is a really great movie. In fact, it's a great movie if you just like filmmaking and you want to see some great acting. Mm-hmm. Andrew Garfield has not, I like him, but he hasn't done anything that's truly, truly impressed me to this point. But this movie really did that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You know, I'm sitting here looking at this lineup for 2017. You know, and the first thing that strikes me is how many comic book movies we've got coming out in 2017. So you've got, I think the first one that's coming out is Logan, and that's coming out like March 2nd or 3rd. And then you've got the next one on the list that's going to be coming out, Guardians of the Galaxy. Then you have Spider-Man Homecoming. You have Wonder Woman, Justice League, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, they've got a pretty packed time frame in there. And it's funny because it seems like with each year and with each new crop of fantasy, sci-fi movies and all of that, you know, I get a little less interested. That's doubly true for me of superhero movies. I feel like I'm like pretty much fatigued at this point. That being said, and I think we can kind of go, we can probably go through the months and look at the movies and we kind of hit those as we come to it. That being said, some of the, many of the titles you mentioned, and I'll be honest, except for the DC stuff, the Marvel stuff seems interesting. I have almost zero interest in Justice League. Mm-hmm. The trailer was a little bit better. Wonder Woman is a kind of let's wait and see for me. But I think the one that I'm most interested in of the ones you mentioned, and this is more because the bits I know about it, I'm excited for, but I also am ready to be burned, if that makes any sense, which is Thor Ragnarok. I am kind of excited for that because I am hopeful that we're going to see, I know that Hulk is going to play a really big part of this, and I'm excited for that because this will be the only movie outside of the Avengers, minus those two Hulk reboots that we had. Right. This will be the first one with the Mark Ruffalo Hulk where he hopefully really will get to do something. Yes. And the fact they're putting him in a fantasy element and they're going to give him his gladiator armor, and it seemed to be sort of, I don't know how far we'll go, but that they're going to be at least referencing that Planet Hulk storyline.
Yes.
I'm very excited for that element. I'm excited because this has a really interesting cast, too. There's a lot of... I hope they don't hide them under a ton of makeup. I see Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
Like Goldblum finally in a Marvel movie. I hear Doctor Strange is going to play a pretty large and pivotal role in the film as well. I'm excited for that. So that kind of fantasy out there supernatural Marvel movie looks like this might be the culmination of that. This might be the Avengers of that particular kind of...
Yes.
Of those characters who are more of the fantasy sort of characters. So I'm excited about that. I like... Thor, I like Loki. I have varying feelings on the first two Thor movies. The director, too, is a New Zealand director. He has done some really good stuff. He did a movie this past year called The Hunt for the Wilder People. He did a mockumentary movie called What We Do in the Shadows, which was about vampires living in a house together. And he's not your conventional choice to direct a movie. So I'm really looking forward to that one. That one would be the top of the Marvel list for me. However, that being said, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 looks like it's going to be good fun. Logan looks like it's taking that R-rated template that worked well for them with Deadpool, but trying to kind of tell maybe a more serious, almost neo-Western kind of story.
Yes.
And it looks like it's funny because in the trailers you have this older, grizzled Wolverine, and it looks like Hugh Jackman has kind of just turned into like old angry Mel Gibson in the trailers. Like there's a kind of like you, like I was watching the trailers and I was thinking it's funny because in a lot of these scenes we're getting an idea of what it might have looked like had had Mel Gibson come back and played Mad Max.
Right.
But what I'm most looking forward to that movie is the relationship that seems to be the center of the movie between Jackman, the young girl, and then Patrick Stewart. They're kind of going on a road trip together. So, and there looks like there's an enormous amount of blood.
Yeah.
Which should please those hardcore graphic novel fans.
Yeah, the latest trailer that came out, they actually, you can see it on IMDb. If you're on Facebook, it's circulating around Facebook now. But they're, you know, you see X-23, the little girl, doing some damage and killing some people and blood coming out. So, yeah, this is definitely going to be
you definitely see some blood coming out.
More, you know, of a... an adult film with hopefully an appropriate R rating. You know, I don't want to see Wolverine go the way of Deadpool because it's not Deadpool.
And I don't think we'll probably have that issue because, like, as you pointed out, it's not. I think the tone is very, very different. So we're at the end of January, and there's been a couple of releases. Nothing really amazing. I mean, this past... the Triple X, the Return of Xander Cage with Vin Diesel. And I don't think anyone's really clamoring for that. I saw the trailer of him like skiing through the jungle or something.
Yeah,
and
they,
you know, they ask him, you know, some people are tyrants, some people are this. Who are you? I'm Triple X. I mean, it's just embarrassing. Vin Diesel is probably, you've got the Fast and Furious movies. You'd probably wind those down. It's probably time to move out of the, like, tough guy action. The Rock has kind of cornered that market a little bit. I don't know that we need any more Vin Diesel dumbness.
Here's the thing with The Rock, though, is The Rock in his movies has a great... I enjoy him as an actor. I really
do. He has a personality and a charisma. And he, yes. I think if he wanted to, if he had a director that wanted to work with him... You could probably get a real performance out of it.
Sure.
Now, you could do the same with Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel just doesn't seem very interested in that.
Right.
And I think The Rock has developed... He's more... He's action star and comedy guy.
Yeah.
And even kids movie guy at the same time. He's really branched out. I think Vin Diesel tried the pacifier.
Right.
And decided to back off. Which is fair enough. Stick with what you do. I'm just not sure that the movies he's making are of very high quality.
Right.
So... Yeah, January's been a bit of your typical kind of wasteland outside of the last the movies that are coming out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I did see took my kids to see Monster Trucks because they wanted to see it. It was one of those things where, like, okay, you know, that's the parental love thing coming through there. But it actually wasn't so bad. It was actually a pretty decent, fun little monster movie. I was expecting a movie where monster trucks would become anthropomorphic and, you know, race kids around or something. But it's strangely more of this environmental story about rescuing these giant, look like Sharktopus. This creature bursts out of, like, this oil drilling plant, and then it gets into a car and into the car. So it's an interesting concept. Visually, some of the stuff was kind of neat. The movie is pretty painless. If you're a parent who wants to take your kid out and see a movie, it's like kind of Training Wheels for the Fast and the Furious, in a sense. Like, some of the most ridiculous stunts you've seen in Fast and Furious are happening in this movie, but what's cool is the monsters are literally inside the cars, and they have long tentacles, so every once in a while the monster truck jumps, it will reach a tentacle out and pull itself. It's like Spider-Man mixed with a giant truck jumping across a rooftop. So if I had been 5 to 8 years old, I would have loved it as a kid. As it was, I just sort of liked it and looked over and was enjoying watching my kids enjoy it. So the thing I appreciated about it, unlike the Transformers films, it was a PG. It was clean and appropriate for kids. It was not overly violent, and it was a story kids could get behind. It wouldn't bore them, and it also didn't clock in at 2.5 hours. So there's that.
Bonus!
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one. Is it Lucas Till who stars in that one?
Lucas Till. It's funny. Lucas Till's in it. Jane Levy's in it. She was in Don't Breathe and the Evil Dead remake. And it's weird because we're back at that thing that happened a lot in the 90s where people would make movies that 30-year-olds were playing high school students.
Yeah.
There's no reason in this movie why Lucas Till needs to be a high school student, and yet he is.
Right.
So that to me was a little strange. We have M. Night Shyamalan's new movie Split with James McAvoy and having 23 different personalities. We'll get a review for it next week. You know, it wants to be a serious horror, but it looks kind of like totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That did work. His last movie, The Visit. Did you ever see that?
I never saw that one. Where
the kids are sent off to, like, Grandma and Grandpa's house, but something seems to have gone on with Grandma and Grandpa. There's a scene where she's like, climb in the oven to clean it. That movie was ridiculous, but I did enjoy it. It was creepy. It was a kind of PG-13 horror, which is what Split is. So, Shyamalan, I think he's not living up to the potential he showed initially, but he seems to be coming back to a certain kind of, like, goofy, not so serious horror movie that is refreshing, considering the 5 or 6 complete and terrible movies he made there for a while. Those total stinkers like The Last Airbender and The Happening. There's a movie coming out that, like, the trailer alone kind of just had me rolling my eyes. A Dog's Purpose. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that like the reincarnated dog?
Yes, the reincarnated dog film. But it's so pompous. Like, it looks like, you know, and I see Dennis Quaid and I'm like, what happened, Dennis Quaid? But it looks like that movie that's solely and only for dog lovers who consider themselves at the top of the pinnacle. It looks terrible. Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Is it going to be the real final chapter this time?
Yeah, because because they did, like, Resident Evil Extinction, and then they did Resident Evil Afterlife.
Right.
We're back. And then Resident Evil, what the heck is going on? I went to see one of those with my friend, I think the last one. I took him for his birthday, and it was like, I fell asleep, and I woke up, and it it just made no sense whatsoever. I was like, well, you fell asleep. I was like, yeah, but you know what? The stuff that happened before I fell asleep wasn't making any sense right. either. And then when I woke up, I mean, there is no one can convince me that there is a cohesive story going on right. in these movies. So, guys, just buy the video game.
That's
right. Don't worry about this. That's kind of what we'll close out. And then February has a movie. It's never good when movies get pushed back. Yeah. But there's a movie... The Last Ring movie related to the horror movie came out in 2002. The Ring. This is called just Rings. And I remember there was a trailer. It was supposed to come out of Halloween. Got pushed back to February. Probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
I think we've done about all we can do with this. I do know that Japan made a movie recently where in the American Ring, I believe it is Samara, but it's Sadako in the Japanese. So Sadako versus whatever the evil ghost girl from The Grudge is. So they made a movie where it's like they're Freddy versus Jason.
Right, right.
Two creepy ghost girls go at each other. I don't know if that looks like a supernatural slap fight right. or what that looks like. I haven't seen the film yet. I'm not in a rush to do so.
Right.
Then there's a movie, The Space Between Us, a sci-fi kind of soft sci-fi, if you will, about a boy who's born on Mars. And then he comes back to Earth. It's kind of a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Oldman's in it. The young actor from Hugo, who was also in Ender's Game.
Asa Butterfield. Yes,
yeah, thank you. Asa Butterfield is in the movie. This movie was screened for us critics back in November. And then they pulled the release and moved it back again. Mm. So this is a movie. It's a movie that is, I would characterize it in a review as a matinee choice. Mm. Like, you know, check it out at a matinee. It's interesting. I don't think it's not going to light the world on fire. It's not a huge release. It's definitely that young adult kind of feel. Kind of a middle of the road.
Sure.
We have John Wick Chapter 2. In February, of course.
And have you seen the poster for that?
Yes.
He's walking on the bridge with the dog.
Yes. It's a little ridiculous. I saw the first one. I mean, I think it's a mistake. This is the same thing with Taken.
Yeah.
You had a little movie that people looked at and said, that's ridiculous. Like, Liam Neeson chasing people through France, and it was a hit.
And it worked.
Keanu Reeves is some grim, bad dude killing people because his dog died. And they have this idea, they don't realize that these movies are almost by their nature one-offs. You know? And to make a sequel to these things, just I don't see how this can possibly be satisfying to the people that enjoyed the first movie.
Right.
So we'll see. But Lego Batman movie, really
Which
looking
I'm
forward to that.
For.
Yeah. Yes. We've got our seats for the screening for that one already. We're jazzed for that. And of course, 50 Shades Darker. I don't think we need to say anything else about that. There's a movie. So all of this is coming out in the February timeframe. Those are all February 10th movies. February 17th, Valentine's Day, there are some movies coming out. There's The Great Wall, that movie where Matt Damon is fighting against dragons.
Oh, yeah.
The director, Yang Zemo, is really talented. He's done a lot of really great movies. I don't know if you ever saw the martial art films like House of Flying Daggers or Hero with Jet Li.
Yep.
He does great movies, The Curse of the Golden Flower. He's got a real sense of style. I don't know about this movie. There's a horror movie, Patient Zero. There's a movie whose trailer is fascinating to me. Gore Verbinski, who did the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, is in The Lone Ranger, and he's done several other movies. He's doing a movie called A Cure for Wellness. Looks like a horror film, but the imagery in this movie is fantastic. It looks like Dane DeHaan is in it. It has almost a Shutter Island kind of vibe. That may be because Dane DeHaan always looks like a baby Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
But he goes to this sort of like, looks like European health spa or something. Jason Isaacs is also in the movie, and there's a lot of real... The imagery alone is really cool looking. I mean, there is a scene of just a train going around a long bridge over a big valley, and it's going into the tunnel, and it's shot from, you're looking at, you can see the lake and the sky reflected on the side of the train, and it's curving. Just the shot alone, you just put that shot on screen, you're like, wow, that is impressive. I'd like to see that in IMAX. There's a shot where you're watching characters do things from the reflection of the eye of the stuffed deer head on the wall. So I mean, you're just watching these shots and you're like, I will go and see this movie. And it's been a long time since I've said that about a movie, just for these shots alone. It won't matter if this horror story is any good.
Right.
There's tanks full of eels. It's just going to be a visually good movie. I hope there's a good story, but I'm going to see this one either way. You mentioned Logan. That's in Friday, March 3rd comes out. Yeah. So right at the end of February moving in. Then there's a movie version of The Shack. Do you remember when that was a thing? The shack. Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I'm not really going to go into any of them now. Sam Worthington from Avatar is in.
Oh my gosh.
I can't. There's no part of my mind that sees this as being a good movie.
It's like we were talking about offline that they're doing a movie.
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's on the list here. And yeah, but I think it's a good point to point out. It might seem we are not here mocking. Obviously, Christian filmmaking. We're just mocking these particular Christian movies. Well, and I think The Shack, I don't know that you can even say Christian per se.
Yeah, here's the problem with The Shack is The Shack had a huge following, both Christian and non-Christian. And to me, it's sad because when you look at the biblical truths that were trying to be expressed in The Shack, like, they're not biblical. And so you have this deep issue from the perspective of, of someone who is a believer who takes the Bible seriously, when you're trying to elicit these truths, I have no problem eliciting truths in a very raw and realistic way. I think that's an effective storytelling. I wish more Christian films would do that. But when you totally twist truths around to fit your life, it...
Yeah, that was a tricky one, I think, because... It seemed to me that without interviews, without everything else, that the author seemed to be writing a story, mm-hmm. exploring man's relationship to God. Meaning, it's narrative and it's fictional. And as a narrative piece of fiction, a person trying to work out their feelings about God, I thought it was okay. I didn't like the book, but I'm mm-hmm. saying from that perspective, but I don't know. I didn't pay much close attention at the time when it came out. But it seemed like a lot of people were trying to take it as like, almost like nonfiction, which it was not. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a person kind of trying to deal with an idea. So it's fiction, I think it's okay. I didn't know that it was trying to espouse biblical truth to me. But it seemed like a large amount of its fans or the people that read it were mm-hmm. trying to say, oh, this is, you know, yeah. this is the same thing as some sort of actual biblical truth. Right. And I thought that Morey was trying to get at some ideas about how we view and perceive God, well, and being his own ideas. Right. I think that reading it and taking it as this guy saying this is the truth of God was not really what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's my perspective. I don't really think it was a very good... And I think making a movie and making it literal is going to come off extremely hokey right. and hackneyed.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm much more interested in Kong Skull Island coming out on March 10th.
I really want to see that one too with Loki from...
From Tom yeah, for everyone. Tom Hiddleston, and there's no actor who's not in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Brie Larson, who's yeah. coming off of Room, and you have Tom Hiddleston's in there. Samuel L. Jackson, of course, because, yeah. you know, how can he not be in a movie that everybody right. else is in? John Goodman.
Yes.
John Goodman looking almost kind of svelte, like yeah. kind of thin and looking yeah. good. I'm like, I'm happy for him. And he's much better choice, I think, for that kind of high-minded, arrogant guy who wants to go find the monster than right. Jack Black was in the 2005
yes.
Kong. Though I will put this out there. I know it's maybe not a popular idea, but I really liked the 2005 King Kong. I thought it was a really, really fun, really good movie. Kong is much, much larger, though.
Yes.
I mean, he would like crush the Empire State Building.
Yes.
He couldn't possibly climb it now.
Yes.
And it seems like they've kind of dropped the whole, you know, Kong love woman storyline, which
right.
is probably good, too. And the trailer has this weird tonal shift, though, when John C. Reilly shows up, where he's suddenly
yeah.
there, and he's wearing a jacket. It's funny because whatever the jacket in the back says about for health or something, whatever that phrase is, it's an aspect of his character that he does on the Tim and Eric show. He has Dr. Steve Brule and his like tagline. It's on the back of the
right.
bomber jacket he's wearing. But it's like, that's the moment where you're almost bringing in like Abbott and Costello
right.
into this proceedings, which I'm kind of okay with.
Yeah. Well, you know what it reminds me of a little bit? It almost reminds me of Val Kilmer's character in The Island of Dr. Moreau. Do you remember that?
I don't know if we should make that comparison because that movie was horrible.
Well, it was horrible, but the only reason it brings that to mind is because Val Kilmer starts off as this like staunch like hunter who's keen and like really zeroes in on, and then like by the end of the movie he's like regressed into this psychotic like pot smoking.
Yeah, and,
like...
and now you've derailed me because we have to go into that. So there's actually a documentary. It used to be on Netflix. Probably find it on Hulu. If it's still out there, I'd recommend it. It's called I think it's called Lost Souls, The Doomed Account of Dr. Moreau or something. It's specifically about the South African director Richard Stanley was hired to make The Island of Dr. Moreau, the one with Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer. And he had this great vision for it, but things kept happening. Brando got on, Kilmer got on. Kilmer, like, tried to burn somebody with a cigarette. I mean, Kilmer was literally melting down on the set of this movie, so the script was being rewritten. Eventually, right. Brando himself was rewriting pages of the script. They fired Stanley. He went off. At one point, he ends up downriver where they're filming. He puts on one of the, like, Dogman costumes and sneaks back onto the set. So the old director is like wandering around on set in a costume and he's infiltrated the production. This thing is a train wreck and you can see it on screen. Like that little, the little guy who inspired Mini-Me, the little like minion of Marlon Brando, he just wanted to hire that guy. And apparently he was a little horn dog, went around grabbing people on the set or whatever. And like, it was just, this documentary is great. You watch it and you're like, wow, what a mess. So the Kilmer character in that movie, it's like that wasn't, he was never really supposed to melt down like that. Yeah. Like that's just something that Kilmer just started affecting weird accents. He starts pretending to be Brando in the context of the story. Right. Once Moreau leaves, this guy, that's a mess. I think here this is a lot more like Riley shows up and the tone shifts because he's the kind of comedic character. Yeah. It has much more of a comic book sort of look to it. I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it. I think they clearly made Kong as big as he is so he can fight Godzilla.
Yeah.
So that I'm sure that will be down the line. Beauty and the Beast, my daughter is really excited to see the live action version of this. I actually am too.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Comes out on her birthday, so we'll probably be making a trip for that. That looks great. I can't believe this, but there's a Chips movie apparently on the way.
I saw that. Oh, I saw that
Michael Pena's in it, so I guess he's going to be, is it Ponch?
I guess so. But dude, you know, Michael Pena, I really enjoy him as an actor.
He's a good actor, and he's very versatile. He can do a lot of stuff. Yeah. He can do drama.
Go see this for him in it.
Yes. There's a sci-fi film coming out called Life with Ryan Reynolds, which looks kind of like an Aliens sort of thing. Where they're, I'm intrigued by the trailers. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. There's a pretty decent cast behind it. It's a wait and see for me, but I'm interested in it. Power Rangers looks terrible. Oh, we just watched a trailer for that. It's like they missed the boat on everything
that made that show.
Let me put it this way. If you have kids that haven't seen the Power Rangers, or if you want to recapture that kind of feeling, which is a cheesy, goofy feeling of Power Rangers, skip this movie. Go to Amazon Prime. They just put on one of my favorite movies as a kid called Super Inframan. Chinese movie made in the 70s, which is clearly the inspiration. They fight Princess Dragon Mom in this, which is clearly the precursor to Rita Repulsa. What's awesome is the production is so shabby, you can see where the monsters and mutants have their costumes taped together.
Right.
My son pointed out, Daddy, pause it. I paused it. An Inframan's suit had ripped in the crotch region, and you can see his tidy whitey showing through. I mean, you can just sit there and have a lot of fun with this. That's the spirit of Power Rangers. Silly, goofy, fun. The trailer doesn't have any of that. It's bad CGI. Yeah. It's Transformers all over again.
Yeah.
The Boss Baby. Have you seen the trailer?
That's Alec Baldwin, right?
He's the voice. This is clearly a commentary.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see if the real Boss Baby tweets about it when the movie comes out. And then the movie I'm actually kind of excited to see that I think they expected nothing from, saw the trailers, and it looks one of those few cases where they translated something that I actually enjoy to the screen in a way that it will be good, that it will kind of retain what was interesting about the original. Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the anime?
I am familiar with
it. Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Looks really good, I think. Yeah. I know a lot of people have been talking about the kind of whitewashing thing with Scarlett Johansson being the main character, which, okay, I get that. Yeah. I will say that with Ghost in the Shell, that particular anime had that drawing style where the characters didn't necessarily look Japanese either. That was that kind of hybrid sort of feel.
And in all fairness to anime, like a lot of anime writers and drawers, like they do put in more of a characteristic to their characters.
Well, like, in some of those, they had that kind of melding of
a lot of their influences will come from American culture and American.
And I think I think this film too, being the kind of sci-fi movie that it is, I think it can stand on its own without all. I think that's just your knee-jerk thing. And the Great Wall, where you have Matt Damon fighting alongside Chinese, that seems kind of silly.
Sure.
I mean, there seems to be no reason.
I totally agree with that. Well, you know, what's interesting is you've got Attack on Titan, which is going to come out at some point, and people are yelling and screaming that they're, you know, about, you know, Asian characters and things like that, you know, that there needs to be more in there. In the Attack on Titan anime, there's only one Chinese girl in the entire plot. And that's what, you know, that's the thing is, like, there's this one girl, she's Chinese, she's basically the last one on Earth as far as anyone can tell. And people are screaming about authenticity, and then they're screaming, well, but you don't have Chinese people in it, or you don't have other Asian people in it. But in the show, there's only one person.
I do think that we can be better about that in the casting department. Mm-hmm. I think that a movie like Ghost in the Shell, you want to get big funding.
Right.
You're going to try to put someone like Scarlett Johansson in there. Right. That's probably what has allowed the budget to be is big enough to make that look good. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this movie looks good. It looks like, you know, Ghost in the Shell felt like it was kind of spinning off of Blade Runner. Right. And this has some of the same visual texture that was apparent in the original Blade Runner.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it. So this movie we talked about earlier, The Case for Christ. So Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ. This, I'm going to call it, and I don't mean to offend anyone, this is going to be one of the worst movies of the year.
Yeah.
I think hands down, this is Pure Flix again, who did The God's Not Dead. This is a movie that I think even serious Christians can sit back and mock. Because it may be well-intended, but it looks to me like it's mostly intended to get money.
Right.
The trailer looks like something you see a Funny or Die. I mean, and my life will change forever. I mean, they show him sharpening pencils and pulling his typewriter out.
Right.
It will change the world. Yeah. He ripped off everything from C.S. Lewis. I mean, you know, it doesn't say that in the trailer, obviously, but in a world where a man writes a book.
Right.
It's just so over the top. I saw this before Silence, the Martin Scorsese film, and I'm about to see a movie about, you know, Jesuits being tortured horribly for their faith, and yet here's a book commending a guy, or here's a movie about commending a guy for writing a book about Christianity at a time when, you know, there's thousands of books out there. It seems so smug and self-satisfied, and it's clearly for one particular niche of people. So, please save your money.
Well, and two, like, I believe they did a movie called The Case for Christ. At least they did one I know called The Case for Faith, which Lee Strobel also wrote. But it was more of a documentary, people who, you know, about faith. And he got really, really good theologians to talk about faith and the importance
of faith. And this isn't a knock on Lee Strobel in any way. No. But the
trying
film
to take a movie about an experience like apologetics and things like that and put it in film version.
They have Thriller music playing. You saw it. It looks ridiculous. Exactly. I mean, it looks like this is not All the President's Men. And I just think, you know, people have that idea. We want to go and support Christian film. Well, what we should be supporting is good film.
Right.
And good Christian film. And I don't think that this is that. Yeah. So I mean,
There's still something about the knee-jerk reaction from Christians to want to support Christian film, whether it's good or not. And I think we need to get beyond that. And like you said, we need to go out and we need to be supporting good film, and we need to be encouraging people to be.
There's a sense of isolationism to this that I don't think people are aware of. I mean, we should have a whole podcast on that at some point, because I think we can make, I think in our, when we hit these things, we kind of seem like we're just really down. But I think we should take some time and really examine, you know, I think you and I are both, obviously we are both pro-faith, pro-Christian, and we're also pro-filmmaking and Christians being involved in filmmaking. Right. I love those things so much, I want to see them done right. I don't want to see them just lousy cash grabs that misrepresent who we are. So that's my little bit on that. Smurfs the Lost Village, April 7th. This is fully animated in the sense that this is completely CGI. It's an animated
Smurf
movie.
World.
This is it's in Smurf World. I don't think it's related at all to the two they previously made. That's what we do. We reboot things a year later now. I think Rain Wilson is actually possibly Gargamel or something. So it doesn't look great, but if you actually, someone that for whatever reason likes the Smurfs, this actually might be the movie for you to watch, because it looks had the same tone of the...
Wasn't Aziz Ansari the Gargamel in the...
No, Hank Azaria was.
Hank Azaria.
Yeah. I watched a few minutes of this with my kids. The Fate of the Furious, which is one more Fast and Furious movie we probably don't need. I will admit that as that series has gone on and got more ridiculous, I've liked it more. It's gotten sillier to the point that I kind of enjoy it, but it looks pretty
They're bringing
ridiculous.
Statham back into this one too, right?
Didn't they get rid of him at the end of the last movie?
Well, he wasn't. He's in prison, and I think...
Well, they brought him back in the last one. I think he actually... Well, no spoilers, but I thought that, I don't know, who knows? They're going to end up in space at some point. Maybe not in this movie. They're going to end up in space. And then we get kind of to...
That's the Star Wars independent film you're actually looking for there.
Yes. The Circle is a movie coming out that looks very interesting. This is the one with Emma Watson and it involves like seemingly like a cult kind of mentality, but the cult leader in this film, but it's a cult, I say cult, but it definitely looks like it's hinting more at that Scientology kind of vibe, like a socially acceptable group of people, a community. But the interesting thing is the leader of this group is played by Tom Hanks, someone who's very congenial, who can kind of talk you into this.
Right.
I think if they go that direction, that could be really good. So that's a circle. That is coming out April 28th. We get into May. We're in the summer. That's when we have King Arthur Legend of the Sword with Guy Ritchie, which looks to me ridiculous.
Yes.
Charlie Hunnam is not, to me, a really convincing leading man. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, definitely on board for that one. My kids are excited. They got like the Baby Groot movie, but I don't know that they'll be able to see it. It's interesting. I see this on here, and I'm a little surprised. Another Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie, The Long Haul. And I'm thinking now,
third or fourth one?
This would be the fourth one. And I really enjoyed those movies, but I'm thinking that the main actor who played the boy, who plays Greg, is probably too old to do that now, unless this is later. So they may have recast it. I don't know much about it. This flabbergasted me. The Nut Job 2, a sequel to an animated movie that had almost zero value to begin with. Who watched The Nut Job? Unless you saw it on why isn't this going directly to Netflix?
Right.
Alien Covenant is the sequel to Prometheus, but to me is like they've gone back now. It's like Prometheus. Why isn't this Prometheus 2? We are making another Alien movie with Sigourney Weaver, which is not Alien Covenant. Right. So why do we need this one to be explicitly Alien? Everything interesting about Prometheus seems to be jettisoned, and now we're just people running from aliens.
Right.
I am a huge fan of the Alien series. I've watched and liked to some degree every one of them, minus those Alien versus Predator movies. Aliens is one of my all-time favorite action movies, hands down.
Aliens is fantastic.
You give me an Alien movie, I will watch it no matter what. But I'm just a little disappointed that so far this seems irrelevant.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, and it looked like from the previews they're bringing Michael Fassbender back.
They are. So there are ties to Prometheus. Yeah. But of course, an android, you can bring him. How many times did Lance Henriksen come back as Bishop?
Right.
Baywatch.
Oh, my gosh.
May 26th. Now, this has Zac Efron and The Rock in it, so they're going for a comedic thing.
Right.
This could work. I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen the trailer. Yeah. I'm just saying this probably isn't the train wreck you'd likely expect.
Right.
It could be a different kind of train wreck.
Right.
It's not my movie, but I can see how it seems to be in that vein of like 21 Jump Street or the Brady Bunch movies, where they're kind of openly mocking the zeitgeist that was the original show. It's only a matter of time before they get Knight Rider. And The Rock could do Knight Rider, too.
I would see that.
I would as well. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men, Tell No Tales. They should tell no tales. Pirates movies. This is bringing back Orlando Bloom. They're going way far back into the fantasy kind of stuff that kind of muddled the last movies 2 and 3. And it looks like Javier Bardem is some kind of dead pirate. No interest there. Captain Underpants is apparently a movie coming out June 2nd. We have Wonder Woman, which I'm willing to give this a chance. Wonder Woman was the best thing about the Batman movies. We have a different director. We have that setting of World War One or Two. And
Chris Pine.
So there, and it's not Zack Snyder.
Right.
So I'm open and willing to give this one a chance. Yeah. The trailers looked fun.
Yeah.
The Mummy. We're doing another Mummy movie. This is Universal trying to jumpstart their Universal Monsters series. And if you know me, I love the Universal Monsters. I've showed some of the movies to my kids. I am all for rebooting Universal Monsters. But they seem to be doing this every couple of years.
Right.
And they fail. They don't have a clear vision. They're trying to cash in on the Marvel thing. They tried to bring in the Wolfman with Benicio del Toro. It didn't work. Flopped. Well, nope. We're not rebooting the horror universe. Just kidding, we are. Dracula Untold.
Right.
I don't know what they were thinking making that. It didn't have any of the material you would expect to see in a Dracula movie. It was a fantasy movie. Flopped. And now they're doing it again with the mummy. And it's Tom Cruise running with a female mummy. So we'll see. But I'm not convinced this is going to be the restart to their series that they really want.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the ones that Brendan Fraser did. Several years ago,
I liked the first Mummy, the Mummy Returns, and the third Mummy,
the third
Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
That's not even
they were a little too silly to me. But the first movie I do enjoy. I watch that. That to me has that texture of almost like Evil Dead Light or Abbott Costello meet the Mummy kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
It's silly, goofy laughs. There's adventure. And in the first Mummy, there's a few creepy moments.
Sure.
I liked it. I liked Arnold Vosloo's The Mummy. I liked Rachel Weisz. Everything about the first Mummy, You had to kind of reset your expectations if you walked in thinking you were getting that old school horror movie.
Right.
But it's a fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
Then I just hit some of the other things. Transformers The Last Night looks like an abomination.
What? Yeah,
why? I don't even know why we're still making. Cars 3 is so bizarre to me. Have you seen this trailer for this?
It shows
Lightning McQueen crashing and burning. It's like, what is this? This is not The Last Temptation of Christ. What are we doing here? Like, this isn't The Dark Knight. Why are we watching, like, Lightning McQueen smash and burn in a teaser trailer for a Pixar movie? Pixar is just coming off a good run with some actually legitimately good movies. And Finding Dory being a good sequel. And then they're doing this. Yeah. You know? No thanks. Amityville The Awakening. Like, really? Really? Despicable Me 3. Again.
Actually, you know what? I saw the teaser trailer for that. That does look hysterical, the teaser.
So I like the Minions movie better than I like Despicable Me 2. And I thought Despicable Me was cute. I'm not opposed to these movies. And again, it's nice to have movies to take the kids to.
Sure.
That... You know, it is nice to have a property. Okay, they like this. They like the Minions. We'll absolutely be seeing this. I haven't watched the trailer yet, so I'm not certain. Spider-Man Homecoming. My only comment on this, I'm not opposed to this. I enjoyed his cameo in Captain America. Yeah. I like the casting. I think it could be fun. But we gotta do something different now. Yeah. You know, the most intriguing thing to me is that Michael Keaton seems to be playing Birdman, except evil. I'm like, they hired him to play the Vulture because he was Birdman, and that's almost the sole reason. Much like when I saw the first Spider-Man, most interesting thing is I wanted to see how Willem Dafoe would handle the Green Goblin. Yeah. I want to see how Michael Keaton will handle Birdman, evil Birdman.
That's right.
What do you think about War for the Planet of the Apes?
You know. Planet of the Apes will always have a special place in my heart, but I never got into the new series of them. And when I say new series, I exclude the Mark Wahlberg one that they did because that was ugh. But the ones that came after that, I never got into those, even though I heard they were so good.
They are. They're both very good.
And I just...
You didn't see them?
No.
Yeah. We'll have to fix it. Because they're very good. They're much better. The Mark Wahlberg one was a travesty. Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, both very good movies. And legitimate sci-fi movies. They really harken back to the tone of the original movie in 1968. So War of the Planet of the Apes, though, looks like we're starting to get... It's becoming too much of a rote action movie. At least this is my impression from watching the trailers. And now he's fight. You hear, you know, there's a Woody Harrelson. I'm going to kill all these apes. And it's just like, it's getting a little silly, at least trailer-wise.
Sure.
The movie may prove me wrong. I hope it does, because I did quite enjoy the first two. But we'll see. Dunkirk is the next week, which is Christopher Nolan's big epic war film. Trailer looks great. Think we're going to have something really good there.
Well, and Christopher Nolan really does a good job putting thought into his movies. And you can appreciate... where he goes with
them. It'll be interesting to see, because this will be really one of his first movies that falls into a different vein, because he's done a lot of science fiction, he's done the comic book movies. All of his movies really leading up to that were like thriller. They were all genre. You had Memento and Insomnia, which were again kind of puzzle sort of movies. This will be the first one he's doing that really doesn't have those elements.
It's
a different kind of, it's a historical war film.
Right.
So I'm looking very much forward to it. There's also a movie coming out on the 21st, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
I saw a trailer for that several months ago, but I can't really remember.
It was a lot of just wild, crazy eye candy. Dane DeHaan, again, it's from the director of The Fifth Element. It looks crazy. I love The Fifth Element. I love the trailer for this. It just looks like it's going to be a lot of really wild, off-the-wall visuals.
Yeah.
I think you and I were talking last year. There was that movie, Gods of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
I love the director, Alex Proyas. I was hoping that Gods of Egypt was just going to be one of those crazy, off the wall, so nutty, Flash Gordon type kind of things. And I thought the movie was actually kind of awful. It had that, some of the ideas were there, but the budget was terrible, the acting was terrible, the sets were terrible, the writing was terrible. I mean, it was like, it was a no-go. Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets is one of those movies that go either way. It's going to be ridiculously terrible, or it's going to be ridiculously fun.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for fun. Besson has been known to do that. If this is kind of like the spiritual follow-up to Fifth Element, I'm all in for it.
Sure.
So,
yep.
The Dark Tower. So we're finally going to get The Dark Tower. Stephen King. It's going to interesting casting. We have
Idris Elba.
We have Matthew McConaughey. Mm. There are elements where I don't want to get into any kind of spoilers here, but even though this is sort of like the adaptation of The Dark Tower, given how the story goes, it could potentially also be a sequel. I know that's kind of maybe a little spoilers, but there are elements that we've seen in the production, little things that if you know the story, you're like, wait, that's not just them changing a fact. That's them suggesting that this is going to be something different.
Right.
King has been pretty like on fire about it, but recently he seems like he's distancing himself a little. It got pushed back. It was supposed to come out in February. I don't know if this is confidence or concern for why it's moved back. July 28th is a pretty competitive time frame, though, so it may be that they actually are
concerned with the timing of it.
That they were going to put it out and let it really like stand on its own. So this will be an interesting experiment. August is going to have Annabelle 2. I know we're all waiting for that. The Evil Doll movie that was a spinoff of The Conjuring. A movie called The Hitman's Bodyguard, which is another kind of over-the-top action. This is where we're getting into like the slums, to speak. And we've gone way over time here, so let's hit a couple other things. September's got another Stephen King movie with It, so we're going to see Pennywise again. I don't know how we're going to top the Tim Curry Pennywise, in every other way, the TV movie was not spectacular.
Right, right.
So there's room to improve on it. There's a Ninjago movie, so that'll be Lego's getting two movies this year. I don't know if the quality will be similar. I'm thinking it's not going to be.
If you ever follow the Ninjago series, I kept up with it for the first three seasons and really enjoyed it. So I'd be interested to see how they do with the movie.
Granite Mountain, I'm not certain, that's September 22nd. Flatliners, they've remade Flatliners, the movie from the 90s. Again, not sure why. Thing I'm really excited for, but also trepidatious about, is Blade Runner 2049. Yeah. Blade Runner being my all-time favorite movies. And Denis Villeneuve coming out with this sequel based on Arrival. I'm pretty confident that he's going to deliver something good. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. The trailers look interesting. Harrison Ford being back, that's good, but I think if anyone has the ability to make a good Blade Runner movie, I think Villeneuve has the ability. So we'll see. There's another Kingsman movie, The Golden Circle. So Kingsman was a shrug for me. I didn't care for it. It didn't do anything for me. Insidious Chapter 4. We have a movie called Geostorm, which I read the plot synopsis, at the same time that some kind of cosmic storm is coming, there's a plot to kill the president. Like, those are two different bad B-movies, and you're mashing them together. Geostorm. I don't know who is in this. I don't know if this sounds like this could be like, you just throw the Expendables in there too, and send split them in half and send one half to deal with this, you know, just ridiculous. Friday the 13th is getting another remake. My Little Pony will finally get its big movie debut. So
when are Care Bears going to get theirs?
Why, my kids watch the heck out of the old Care Bears movies, and they're pretty creepy. Cloverfield Universe, 10 Cloverfield Lane was one of my best surprises of last year. Did you see it?
I didn't. No, John Goodman.
So good. Yeah, I would recommend it. He elevates the movie, but the movie's good, and it shows that they have this kind of. It's not that related to the Cloverfield movie, but there is a kind of feeling that they're tying them all together in a kind of thematic way.
Gotcha.
And I liked Cloverfield. I like Cloverfield Lane, 10 Cloverfield Lane. The God Particle, coming out October 27th, is another movie supposedly taking place within the Cloverfield universe. Mm. So the God Particle, I'm looking forward to that, mostly because this is something that interests. This universe does interest me.
Nice.
November, we get A Bad Mom's Christmas, because there was the Bad Moms movie this past summer. So we're really churning stuff out to get there. Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Red Sparrow, which has Jennifer Lawrence, who's getting a little bit overexposed to my taste. I feel like we're seeing her a lot. This is a spy thriller.
Okay.
Justice League. Yeah. I don't know what more we could say about that. I am not enthused about this at all. Nothing that the DC Universe has produced yet. We may feel differently after we see Wonder Woman. I just have no confidence. I mean, we've had Suicide Squad, which was, at the time we saw it, I was like, that's okay. But, you know, it still wasn't. They haven't had a confidence builder for me yet in this series of movies. And I don't think Justice League is going to pull it together. So we'll see what happens after that. Pixar's got a new movie called Coco, which I really don't know much about. There's a remake, and I didn't know this, a Murder on the Orient Express. Kenneth Branagh doing Murder on the Orient Express. I don't know who's playing Poirot in this version. I know Albert Finney did a really good version in the 70s. So that, I need to learn more about that, because that would kind of jump to the top of my list there, because I'd be really interested to see. I hope it is a period piece.
Yes.
You know, I hope it's not modern.
Right.
Modern. I think it'd be hard to do Murder on the Orient Express modern. Of course, when we get to December, We've got a horror movie coming out called He's Out There. Don't know much about that. Star Wars Episode 8. Yeah. Super excited for this because I really want to see Rian Johnson's take on Star Wars.
Yes.
I think we've seen Abrams. We're going to be moving beyond that. I want to see how it goes. I'm very curious about a lot of things.
Yeah.
It is sad about the passing of Carrie Fisher. I don't know how they're going to handle that
or if
that will affect this movie
much. They're still deciding that. I mean, they're still trying to figure out if they're going to bring her back in CG form, if they're going to...
I suspect that this movie won't be touched as much by that decision.
Yeah.
That's something I'm probably going to have to deal with Episode 9.
Yeah.
But, what do you think about this? Because, I mean, I liked Force Awakens. They need to move beyond the Death Star and all that kind of stuff. This needs to not be an homage.
I agree. I think here's what I liked about Abrams. Abrams, after the travesty that was Episodes 1, 2, and 3, brought it back to the original sense. It brought you back to what you were feeling when you first saw Star Wars. And I like that because I think Lucas had just... He'd been phoning it in for so long that it was time to bring something back. But I think you're right. I think it's now time to move away from the nostalgia. It's time to move away from the homage. And it's time to bring it into its own life, into its own reality. I want to go deeper into Snoke's background. I just don't want to know about Snoke and that he's there and he's this villain. I want to know more about his background. I want to know more about the order.
We need to see, we also need to really get some build into the Jedi and the Sith. We saw what they were originally and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, I would say this, I don't know that this is a controversial view. I am also not a fan of the prequels, but I wouldn't argue that Lucas was not phoning it in. I think Lucas was really trying to be ambitious and do something different. I mean, you have to give him at least credit over Abrams in the sense that Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, they aren't just copying Episodes 4, 5, and 6. He was literally trying to do something new and different.
Right.
Unfortunately, his writing ability and then no one reining him in and him just indulging in anything he wanted to do are what ruined those movies. But I think what the danger was, everyone saw that and they thought that the reason those movies were bad is, they're trying to do something different that's not Star Wars. Every one of those movies were better writing, more control on the acting, more handle on the special effects could have been good with their storylines.
Right.
But, so, Luke, the thing is, though, Lucas was still trying to give us new sights in those movies. I mean, the overabundance of CGI ruined some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when Force Awakens comes along, I really enjoyed the characters, but there were no new sights. There was nothing that popped off the screen to me. And I felt like that's the one thing, okay, they've gone away from Lucas, who was trying to do that in the prequels. I don't think Abrams was phoning it in either. I think he was just playing it super cautious.
Right.
I think by all means, it's a much better movie than any of the prequels. But the mindset that prequels equal bad, I think we have, I just hope that the people making these new movies, this Johnson included, recognize why the prequels were bad.
Right.
And don't attribute it to, they tried to give us these new, they tried to do too much.
No. And I agree with that. I think you're right. I don't think it was the new sights or it was doing something different that made it bad. I think it was, I mean, first of all, you have Jar Jar in the first movie,
Yeah, those are bad choices. And he had bad choices all through
even
the earlier series. He was just reined in a little more with those bad choices.
Right.
And Jar Jar had been the single bad choice. Just like the Ewoks, people would have overlooked it. But it was the golly gee Willikers little Anakin.
Right.
And the fact that we don't get Anakin's story until really the last movie.
Right.
And there were a lot of things I liked about Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the
Sith
was almost a good movie.
That could have been a movie if you took away the Star Wars title. I believe that could have been a movie that would have done okay in theaters. If you took away the Star Wars title from Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones,
they'd have been like gods of Egypt.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of were anyway. Yeah, I agree. I think he started to pull it together, and the reason I think he started to pull it together was that's where his story was.
Yeah.
The story he was interested in telling was happening, and those other two movies should have been something different. They just should have been different.
Right.
They shouldn't have been focused on Anakin. We should have seen the ascent of the Jedi. We should have had a Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan movie, and it had been their movie, and forget the little boy,
you know?
But that's all topic for a different time. I'm excited for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I will probably continue to be excited for Star Wars, even though I haven't seen anything in a while that has really blown my socks off. Jumanji. So I'm actually kind of excited for this a little bit. Not excited, but I'm optimistic about this.
This is The Rock again,
this
right?
is The Rock, yeah. Yep. Now, the funny thing about Jumanji is they're making this big deal about how it's a sequel or a follow-up or a remake of the 95 movie. Yeah. But they're missing the point that Chris Van Allsburg's book, Jumanji, which is a beautiful, wonderful, imaginative children's book, existed long before Jumanji.
Right.
And for most of us who knew that book, Jumanji, the movie 95, was kind of a mess because it was like, this is a bad special effects movie with Robin Williams that ruined this great kids' book. So I'm curious if Jumanji, this version, is going to pay much homage to that movie or if it's really going to draw from the kids' book.
Right.
I thought Zathura in 2005 that John Favreau did was much more true to the spirit of Chris Van Allsburg than Jumanji was. So we'll see. But I like The Rock in these kinds of movies. I think it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of getting down to the end of the year there. We're also getting down to the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
So that's about all I have. I think it's going to be an interesting... It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah.
Looking forward to checking these things out. Well, I think what's always cool is when we look at lists like this, 90% of the time, the stuff that you really end up remembering that really sticks with you was not on any list. You know,
yes.
It ends up being something that you didn't see coming at all. So I'm excited for that as we find those little gems hidden among the rough. So
tell us if you go ahead and interact with us. Tell us if you agree with us. Tell us if you like what we're doing or don't like what we're doing. Shoot us a message on Facebook. Go ahead and throw us a review on iTunes. And other than that, anything else, Nathan?
No, I think that's about it.
Really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we, Wayne?